Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two Rivers Pleasant Valley area residents gathered over the weekend to discuss a string of recent arson cases. Six fires since mid-May, which occurred in the rural community along Chena Hot Springs Road east of Fairbanks, are under investigation. State Trooper Captain Eric Spitzer addressed a Saturday morning meeting at the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church.
Let's face it, there's forces of darkness at work here.
Captain Spitzer emphasized that the arson investigation is a high priority.
We're taking this seriously, and I will tell you this, who's ever responsible for this? They should not be sleeping soundly at night.
Spitzer urged local people to keep an eye out for suspicious activity and form an email group to coordinate and share information.
I need some community leaders out here to step up and put together a community watch. I'm not talking about a vigilante thing.
It was earlier disclosed that there has been written communication from someone claiming responsibility for the arson attacks, but no details about that are being released. Spitzer said he would alert the community if there's a specific threat, but that other case details are being held close by troopers, the state fire marshal's office, and the FBI.
In order to preserve the integrity of the investigation, there are certain things that law enforcement wants to keep only law enforcement knowing.
Pleasant Valley Community Association buildings are among those targeted by the arsonists, and Association Chairman Wayne Shea said there's a possibility that some security video can be salvaged from a heat-damaged camera hard drive.
It's now been being sent to the Forensic Crime Laboratory in Virginia. Now, if they can't get it, probably nobody can, but there is a chance.
Shea, who's also pastor of the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church, expressed appreciation for local people staying calm given the scary situation.
We're not going to operate on fear in this community. We're tougher than that.
One of the arson attacks displaced six people in three households on a single property earlier this month. Don and Virginia McKee lost their home, plus two rental units and large shop buildings. Standing in front of a pile of blackened debris, the McKees describe a concussive blast that started the early morning fire.
The explosion of the gas being lit that they had spread on the far side of my shop.
From the time that he woke up, it was 2:07 at 2:18.
About 2:15.
2:15, the front of the house and the front walls just blew out.
Virginia McKee says the fire followed another arson attack that burned a relative's home nearby less than a day earlier. She says they have no clues about who's responsible.
We have gone over that so many times with the FBI and the troopers. And, okay, there's a lot of people don't like me very much on Facebook because I am very conservative and I'm not afraid to say so.
The McKees say many people, some they know and some they don't, are helping them and the others who've lost property in the arson attacks.
Whoever has been lighting these fires, whether it's one person or a group, you know, if it was their intention to destroy our community, they failed epically. This community is tighter and stronger and better for all of this. Truly, truly is. And the generosities of our neighbors is overwhelming.
A $2,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the Two Rivers Pleasant Valley area arson attacks. The body of a man who drowned while swimming in a Fairbanks area lake was recovered over the weekend. Alaska State Troopers report that 43-year-old Nathan Charlie's body was located Friday night using sonar and dragging in about 20 feet of water in a Chena Point Avenue area gravel pit lake. Charlie was reported to have been swimming with friends and family after 10 p.m. July 4th when he went underwater and did not resurface. The state medical examiner's office released Charlie's remains to his family. Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed the money that would pay for state lawmakers' daily expenses during the legislative session, saying it doesn't make sense for legislators to receive the money until they've resolved the future of the permanent fund dividend. But as Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, There are concerns about short and long-term impacts on the legislature.
The legislature passed a budget that included roughly $2 million to pay for the daily food and housing needs of lawmakers and their families attending the session. This year, the payments, known as per diems, equaled $293 per day. It's based on the rate the federal government pays its employees when they're traveling in Alaska. Governor Dunleavy said the day after vetoing the money that he knew the veto would not be appreciated by some legislators.
Every day a legislator is in session, they get close to $300 to pay for expenses. And I certainly understand that those expenses have to be offset. But we had two special sessions in which thousands of dollars was collected by members of the legislature. And at the same time, the permanent fund and the permanent fund dividend was not dealt with.
Dunleavy, a Republican, has proposed changing the PFD formula through an amendment to the state constitution. It would be based on half of the amount the state draws annually from the permanent fund. This year, that amount would lead to a PFD of roughly $2,350. Committees in both the House of Representatives and the Senate held hearings on the amendment during the special session, but neither chamber has held a vote on it. Anchorage Democratic Representative Matt Klayman chaired one of those hearings. Klayman is concerned that the governor is trying to pressure the legislature to take his position on dividends at a time when Alaskans need to know more about all of the effects of Dunleavy's PFD proposal. Klayman says the tactic won't increase cooperation.
I hear the pressure, and I think if the governor's way of trying to apply that pressure is to say, I'm going to take away the funds that provide expenses so the legislature can work, I mean, that doesn't seem like it's likely to accelerate the process because some legislators may not be able to come to Juneau at all without the per diem.
Klayman says the per diems are essential to drawing a diverse range of Alaskans to run for the legislature.
For me, this really comes back to, are we trying to make the legislature something that people from all walks of Alaska could serve in?
Without per diems, he fears it would limit the number of people who could afford to become legislators. Annual legislative salaries have been set at $50,400 since 2009. The per diems at the current rate can reach as high as roughly $35,000 for a 121-day session. Several Republican legislators did not return calls for this story. Anchorage lawyer Scott Kendall served as chief of staff to Dunleavy's predecessor, Governor Bill Walker. Kendall says he never and would never advise a governor to veto money that legislators use to cover their expenses. Kendall says Dunleavy has a history of attacking other branches of government, including vetoing court system funding due to his opposition to court rulings on abortion. That veto became one of the grounds for recall in the campaign to remove Dunleavy from office. Kendall has advised the recall campaign.
I'm not concerned about future governors doing this. I think, you know, most people respect the norms and have the common sense not to engage in a back and forth between branches of government.
Kendall says that if Dunleavy maintains the veto, the legislature could eliminate appropriations for some of the costs of the governor's office. Kendall adds that Dunleavy's dividend proposal would require spending that would lead to an annual deficit of at least $1 billion. And he says that since Dunleavy proposed budget cuts 2 years ago that prompted a public outcry, the governor hasn't proposed policy changes to close the deficit. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And I'm Dan Bross.